Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which was in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love.
Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to our text. It's going to be taken from a well-known portion of Scripture, taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. It's a portion of the Sermon on the Mount. And anyone who is a Christian, I could say to you, if there's a portion of Scripture for you to remember, and it's possible to do, to remember it off by heart, and hopefully then to live it in our lives, look, just take this portion of Scripture, take it seriously, apply it, make it a goal that you want to be the person that Christ has called you to in your life and in discipleship. When you read this portion, you realize that there's a life to be lived and it is not a religious one. There's a life to be lived, it's not simply a respectable one. There's a life to be lived, it's a radically different one. And as we looked at last week, sometimes we can miss, can't we, the great view that we've had from the sight of the Sermon on the Mount, which the Lord Jesus Christ gives us, even of God himself. And we don't want to do that this time. We want to just take in something that Jesus is telling us about the very nature and the very person and our relationship to God himself. I'm sure that you've been on a trip and you may have been on a holiday and you've been so busy trying to get there, so busy focused on something else that you've missed the beautiful scenery, the sights all around you. And that can also happen when we come to the Sermon on the Mount. We get so concerned, verse by verse, and step by step, making sure that we're fulfilling these commands that God has given us, that we miss sometimes the teaching that he's telling us, that we are the children of God. Like we looked at last week, let your light so shine that there will be those by your good works which will glorify your Father in heaven. A wonderful word this morning. No matter who you are, if you have come to Jesus Christ, if you've repented of your sins, If you've put your trust in him, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says that there's a heavenly Father, and you belong to him. And no matter how old you are this morning, you have a heavenly Father. Not everybody knows the heavenly Father. Not everybody knows that new birth, which is then from above. But what we do know is this, that those who have come to Jesus Christ, as you've heard this morning, you know what it is, that you've been born again. And there is something of the nature and the character of God which has been now outworking in your life. And when Jesus comes to speak the Sermon on the Mount, he is speaking to those who are his disciples, who know of a new nature, who have come to him. And there is a great obligation. There is a great word given to us, found in these verses especially. Look, whatever you think this morning, if you're a Christian, you may believe in the Lord Jesus, but faith is never alone. Faith is also outworked, and faith which outworks itself especially in love. And that's what you find here in these very verses. Now from chapter 5, verse 43 to 48, you find the Lord Jesus Christ giving one of these great exhortations. And you need to understand, the only reason he is giving it to them is because they are the children of God. I'll just read you some of these verses. You have heard what it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And when you read those words, I want to say to you, there is the impossible possibility this morning that the Lord Jesus puts upon us, that you should even love your enemies. And first of all, you know, we need to think of that, because every one of us here this day, whether we like it or not, has people who are not for us and those we know which are against us. That's part of life. You can't help it. No matter how friendly you want to be, how nice you may want to try, there are things we may say, there are things we do wrong, and before we know it, someone's taken a grudge and they hold it against us. You don't even have to try. If you're a Christian this morning, the Lord Jesus tells them, they hated me without a cause. They will also hate you. You will know of difficulties in family, in work, even amongst one's community. But I want you to hear this word this day and don't miss the sight of it, that you are to live in such a way, not only to let your light shine, but let your love shine, which shows something of your heavenly Father. And first of all, very simply this morning, I want to show you of what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches and lives himself. When he says these words, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. You have heard. They heard. You've heard. People have spoken that to you. There are many which have told you that they don't bother with that one. Or they've turned their back on another. And it's the way then to live. But the Lord Jesus, he's looking and he says, you've heard, but you shall love your neighbor. But I say to you, and he says to you this day, especially if you've been listening to the sermon, where he's now called you the children of God, where you are the one who by your good works is going to give glory to your Father. There should be something. He is talking to those who have something in their heart that wants to live a life which is pleasing to God. Thus these words are spoken to. They're spoken to people who have got that desire in their lives to live a life. They may not even understand it, but it's something that they want to be before God. Let me try and explain. I'll give you an example. Do you think of a little child at one time? And perhaps you may have done it yourself, or you've seen your children or your grandchildren do it. They don't realize what they're doing, but you watch them around the house and they put their feet into the slippers, perhaps of their father, or perhaps someone puts their feet in the high heel shoes of their mother and they walk around. They don't realize it. They've got big shoes to fill. And what you've got here is the Lord Jesus talking now to those. He says, you've got a heavenly Father and you've got big shoes that you need to walk even like him. And the Lord Jesus, when he came in, I want to show you that what he teaches here is what he himself also lived and has shown us. He says, you have heard what has been said to you, that you should then perhaps be good to those and like those who like you. And those who hate you, you shall hate. But I say to you, and you know the Lord Jesus, this is what he says. He says to them, bless those who curse you. And you know, when the Lord Jesus came into this world, he came in and he was the one who came with blessing. You only have to read the first few verses of the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And the way that God blesses, Jesus Christ came into this world to bless people. You pick up the Quran today and you read it and it's full of cursing. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, only one curse did he ever make. Is when he cursed the fig tree, which was a symbol of religion, which was dead and had no fruit. And when Jesus came into this world, and if you come to him, you would know this day he's the one who can bless you, because he's the God of all blessing. And not only that, he's the one, is he not, which we read here, do good to those who hate you. And when Jesus was on this earth, they hated him. They hated him without a cause. But there was something in the life of the Lord Jesus. Do you know, there was never a mark that Jesus put upon the ground where he said, I will never help that person. There was never that mark which is on the ground in which the Lord Jesus Christ, when people came to him in their need, in their sin, he stretched out his hand to help them. He's the one who came to help sinners that no one else would touch. He's the one who came and helped soldiers who occupied their country and their nation. And you think of the animosity and the hatred for an occupying force. But when the centurion came and asked for his servant to be healed, the Lord Jesus did it in a moment. And when those came to him from the synagogue where he was thrust out of, when Jairus came to him and had a need, the Lord Jesus Christ went to him. The Lord Jesus did good even to those who hated him. And even on that night in which he was betrayed, when he was in the garden and they came to him with clubs and with swords, it was a fight that took place, and Malchus had his right ear cut off. He was a relation to the high priest and to the priest. And the Lord Jesus took the ear of Malchus and he healed him. And you read about Malchus, what he did after that. The Lord Jesus came and he dealt good to those who weren't good to him. And then you read it here when he says, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was taken to Calvary, when he was nailed to that cross, when he was lifted up, when the jolt fell into the ground and his bones were dislocated, the very first word he said when they abused him and were spiteful and blasphemed him, he prayed and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The Lord Jesus, he is teaching his disciples. He did it with words, and he did it with everything in his being. He is the Son of God, and he did it perfectly, we know. Now, what you read here is very important indeed, because he says, "You've heard of old that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you," it's amazing, isn't it, how we do that. It's actually taken from the Old Testament and the book of Leviticus, and how we can squeeze the very love out of the very verses which God has given. "You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him." And what we're told here is this. But the Lord Jesus, he tells us, listen, there is something of the gospel this very day. Is that not the gospel? That while we were enemies, Christ died for us. It's what we're called to do. And you know, when a husband says, "I don't love my wife," well, there's a verse in the Bible that says, you're to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And when a wife says, "I don't love my husband," I say, well, the Bible says to us, you are to love your neighbor as yourself. And the closest neighbor you've got is your husband. So you better love them first. And then when someone says, and they do, and they say, "We don't love each other anymore," I say, that's not a problem, because Jesus says you're to love those who hate you. And get on with it. You're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, it can't be that simple. It's that simple, not that easy. I'm not saying, but I do know this. He tells us there's a place in our lives where we're to love even those who do not love us. I remember many years ago, I was with a pastor and we were in the car, and he was telling me the situation where he had gone into a home and they told him that they didn't like him. And he said, "Chris, I told them the feeling was mutual." I thought to myself, well, perhaps that may have been the case, but remember now, we're not called, are we not, to like everyone, but we are called to love all who God has put in our way. And that's part of life in which you live. In the life we live, there will be those which are not for you. And God says to you, you must then love them. And if you're a Christian, he's already told you in chapter 5, verse 1, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You also, when they persecute you, spitefully use you," he tells them how to live. Look, this is vitally important, because now Jesus Christ has come into this world. There is a unconditional love which he came with, where he's come to love us, and he expects that even amongst his people. He tells us in Romans chapter 12, "Do not be overcome by evil, but you overcome evil with good." Whereas Augustine said, and listen carefully, I want to get it right. If someone has ever been evil to you for the good that you have done, that's demonic. If you've ever been good to those who have been good to you, that's human. But if you've ever been good to those who've been evil to you, that's divine. And that's what he says here. He comes and he's got this great exaltation. And here's the reason. And let's not miss the big picture. It's a wonderful picture. He tells us there in verse 45 that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. I know today perhaps we're not even allowed to say Father. It's not politically correct to say Father because of all the kind of experiences one can have. You have a Heavenly Father, and the Heavenly Father, I assure you, is one who is good and who is kind. And what we're being told now is the reason why you're to live in this particular way. It's really interesting because he tells them there in verse 27 of why it is they should be faithful. And they should be faithful not to commit adultery. And you know the reason why? Because you're in great danger of hellfire if you do such a thing. And then he tells them, you be careful when you take oaths. And you know the reason why? Because if anything's more than your yes and your no, it's from the evil one. You be careful. But when you come and you love those who don't love you, you do that because of this, because you will be like your Heavenly Father. I want you to think upon this for a moment, because he's now telling them the great truth. And here's the truth, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. It's something of what you are already, but that you may be like him. Now, there's one thing that people have some views about God. God is a God who is immensely and greatly kind. He is a God who, when he made this earth, he completed everything, then put Adam and Eve in the garden and give them everything that they needed. And then the evil one comes in and puts that question in a person's mind. You know, has God not said that you can't eat of this and touch of the trees and of the fruit of the garden? And you know, there are people today, they actually got their questions against God. They don't believe that God is kind, that he's good, that he's gracious. People don't believe that that God is the one who gives so freely. And there's big question marks. If God only knew this, and if God understood this, why does God do this? But Jesus Christ comes and he tells us, now you need to understand something from what you see around you. There's a God which is able, and he makes rain and sunshine fall on the good and the not good, the just and the not just. There's a God this day who loved the world and who gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him. There is a God who is given to this world. God loves this world. He loves it in different ways. I'll try and explain it to you. God loves his Son, Jesus Christ, the most. This is my beloved Son. And then also, he loves then his people who come to him. You're the apple of his eye, and you're special to him. But then also, he does love this world. He cares for it. gives us all that we need for our lives and for our living. And you know, this day, in this world in which we live, where there is Putin and Hamas and terrible atrocities and injustice, there is one who gives life and breath to every single one. God knows the difference between the just and the unjust. But God still gives and still provides. Think of it like this in this town. Not everybody's nice who lives in this town. But God has given them the amenities that you enjoy, the health center you enjoy, the shops you enjoy, the food that you enjoy. We're all part of that. Do you know there are people in this place of Bethesda today? And you've lived pretty miserable, nasty little lives at certain moments and time. God knows every one of us here this morning. He knows how you've gone from him, knows how you rejected him, know how you behaved, and you know what he does? He gives you all this day the gospel and the forgiveness of sins which he wants you to know and the pardon which you can receive. He offers it to everyone which is here. No matter if you've lived a moral life as much as you can, whether you've been someone who's not lived as you ought, yet that wonderful free gift of the offer of the gospel goes out to all. Let me just read you these words. Now think of this. It's found in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Listen very carefully. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? That's where we are today. Do you know God has been good to you? He's given you your life, given you your days, he's given you everything. But these good gifts, if we don't turn to him, he tells us that he will be heaped up for us in the day of wrath, the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Why? Because he is good. That's how God deals with this world. People who don't worship him, don't come to him, he is good to them this day. That's what God is like. He says, that's why I want you to be loving to those who hate you, because there's no one more hated than God. If we had a gun, we would shoot him, but he came and we crucified him. And yet he came in his love that we could know that forgiveness of sins. This is how Jesus taught and lived. This is because, you see, he did it because he only did what his heavenly Father is and told him to do. And then you find here these very words. And I want you to look at them because they're very important. Verse 46. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors do also? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The third thing this morning is this, is that he wants you to be then as the children of God. And you must get it out of your head this very moment that you may think that you're the children of God, because if you don't love those who don't love you, you may think you're the child of God, but he says, you're no better than the tax collector. That's what you're really like. Do you remember what he tells us here in chapter 5, verse 20? For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. And then he tells them, for you to love those who love you, what reward is that for you? Now, we may think this morning that we are good people because we love those who have been nice to us. And that's how it works, does it not, in life? You're nice to me, I'm nice to you. You'd be surprised how people just live. Look, this is not the level that Jesus is expecting you just to live on. He's expecting something far more. This doesn't identify you as anything. This is just what it is, naturally speaking. And he says, what's the point that you'll only say hello to those people who say hello to you? What's the point of just walking down the streets of Narberth and greeting those who just are friendly? And there are those which I know people, they say, they pass them by, they don't speak to them, they don't even acknowledge them. There's nothing in that. And not only that, you see, there is no real love. That love that you have is purely fleshly and carnal. Now, I got a dog at home. I'll tell you what, that dog, as you know, is got to be the oldest living dog in this town. He's outlived every other dog. I'm not sure about my dog. No, I'll never know. You say, I love my dog. My dog, you know, my dog loves me. He's there. He's on the lap. My dog, you know, follows me. I'll be honest with you, after 18 years of that dog, I still don't know he loves me. I think my dog loves me for the food. My dog loves me because he knows where he gets his comforts from. And it's like that with people, even in our experience, which is with God. You've got to be very careful. If there's a love in your life, which is now not only towards other people, but even to God himself, you've got to be really careful, because you're not a child of God. There's an unconditional love which God has loved you. And when God loved you, he put that love into your heart that you would love him and you would love others, not only for what you would get, but for who he is. Jesus Christ said, these people only come to me because of the bread which I give. It is possible, do you know, in your Christian life and experience, to love God because he's good to you. And there is nothing in it. Nothing at all. Absolutely natural and carnal. We're living in a day of the Christian life where people are told, you come to God and you can have what he gives of your health and your wealth, and he's been exceptionally good to you. But what's the point? All that is just natural love. But if you love those who don't love you, there's just something of that spark, that sign that you are of and are a child of God. Do you remember what we had read to us? It's that very love which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Do you know what it is? It's the agape love. It's that love. And if you don't have it, you're nothing. Not even a Christian. You can speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Look, forget it. You haven't got it. You can prophesy. Forget it. You haven't got it. You can have faith and you can move mountains. Forget it. You haven't got it. He says, do you know, there's this love. And here it is. It suffers long. And is kind. It doesn't envy. Doesn't parade itself. Not puffed up. Doesn't behave rudely. Doesn't seek its own. Not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This love which never fails. He tells them, therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That is the reason that you would be like him. Every one of us, you say, perfection. Not one of us can be perfect because we are sinners. But in love, there is that, isn't it? Which you could be like him. We may not do it as the Lord Jesus Christ did it, but you know that there is something now within you. In this world, it needs to see something of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in our lives. And we do it that we may be like him and give him glory.